shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Well, welcome. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. What are you doing, Margaret?
Slow down. That's what you were saying.
All right. 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. What Margaret is referencing, thank you.
Because you were going very fast.
Yeah, no. What she's referencing is that I was listening to an air check of last night's show, and I can tell you folks that I do not use anything stronger than caffeine in my life. I barely drink, and it's not because I don't like drinking. It's just there's so much to do that my life these days is literally, it's a 7-day-a-week job. But I haven't had a drink since Allison Reynolds, I'll make her famous. Since I was at your birthday party, Allison, that's the last time I shared some tequila with the great Jimmy Mulligan, a fellow Irishman, a fellow non-Brit.
What are you talking about, non-Brit?
I mean, he's a fellow. He's just a good fellow.
Like a good fellow.
Yes. Anyway, I don't do anything like that, and I was listening to the air check last night, and it sounded like I'd been just snorting meth off a hunting knife. Just, you know, hey.
I listened to it, and once you pointed that out, then it was glaring. Before that, I didn't notice it.
Yeah.
What?
That's what everybody goes. They don't even see it.
Hold on, bud. Yeah, but yeah, because when I pointed it out, now you're listening for it, and now, oh yeah, now you see it.
Oh, come on. What do you think? I'm a simpleton?
No, I just, that's the way people are, you know. But I was listening, and I thought, what the hell is my problem? You know, I just slow the hell down, Hendry. You're doing a late-night show. You could do one of them jazz things, you know.
Yeah, man, that'd be great. You know, like, yeah. Maybe you need music.
No, I don't need any music. In any event, music. If I want to listen to music, if I'm the kind of guy, I like to listen to music. I want to hear music and only music. I don't want to hear anything else, okay? So I don't want to listen to some guy talking over it. Nonetheless, welcome to the show. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And we are here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We're very happy to be with you. It is Halloween night. And if you're watching us on Phil TV and HD, I will tell you this. If you're listening on the radio, the server, if you're a subscriber and you're checking us out on radio, I will tell you that we did have some login problems. They are cleared up now. And we will find out what the problem was. We'll make sure that we don't have that happen again. But we did have some login problems. We're very happy to be back with you. And I figured, well, it being Halloween night, maybe we've got some kind of, I don't know, ghosts or goblins or something like that. Herb Sewell is going to be along to talk Halloween and crime, and Herb ought to know because he's been in jail.
I don't think it's good taste.
Well, all right, you don't think it's in good taste. Herb's been in jail for some very odious crimes, and when I say he's a criminal, this guy is a criminal, and if it's not in good taste, then it's not in good taste, Robert, and we'll take that under advisement. What is this?
Mr. Jazz.
I told him, now hold on, Phil, I told him to put some Quincy Jones jazz on. I know Quincy, I know he won't mind. I think you need this.
Well, I don't think I need it. Would you please take it off?
Mr. Hall.
Oh.
Skip, well, hold on. Take off what?
The music! What'd you think I meant?
Will you kill the music, please? You're going, would you please take it off? And you had, you sort of raised an eyebrow.
No, Margaret, you know, no.
Well, don't look like you'd be in pain.
No, I'm not in pain. I'm just not, no, I don't want, thank you very much. Who's on the line?
David Hall.
And what does he want?
You want to talk about music?
You know what, man? Every time this happens, it's because you called him up and you said, Mr. Hall. Hey, David. I don't know where's David now. David, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. I'm at a dream. If you want to know where I am, I'm at a trick-or-treat event here at the mall, but I have just got the call. They wanted you to slow down and cool out because it sounds like you're smoking crack or you're, as you mentioned, either snorting it off a hunting knife or the hood of a truck.
What do you mean the hood? Yeah, okay. So I made a little comment like that.
Yeah, well, you may be making a comment, but it sounds like you're living the life. Slow it down. So I've authorized that they play that jazz. Just so. Let me hear it. Yeah. Yeah, baby, that'll do it for you, huh?
Not with that mall in the background and that music. I feel like I want to blow my brains out.
What? I can't hear you.
I feel like I want to blow my brains out.
Nope. You can't hear you.
Get out of here.
So Mr. Hawk said, just see how it works.
All right, folks.
No, slower. You got to get the...
Hey, folks.
Phil, pretend you're on a jazz station and do the talk show that way.
Yeah, it's Phil Hendry, and welcome to our talk show. And we'll have Herb Sewell, who was in jail as a child molester. Will you come on and kill the music?
Well, I thought it was worth a try.
No, it ain't worth a try. All right, anyway, we will have Herb Sewell on a little bit later on in the program. It is Halloween night, and we did have, as I said, we had the boogeyman or some kind of problem there inside the website, but I think it's all cleared up, and we're grateful for that. I can only tell you that, as I was saying before the show started, and I was doing the pre-show, which I don't know who the hell watched if they were having login problems, but we live in a day and age, we live in a society, you know, where people have all these different jobs, and this whole communications apparatus, the communication entertainment apparatus, is just shifting slowly over onto a whole new platform. You know, in other words, the old world is yielding to the new world. And this is not unlike, and it is not, I don't think I'm overstating when I say this is not unlike the Industrial Revolution, where the Industrial Revolution took place.
What's that?
The Industrial Revolution is when we massively shifted from an agrarian and a human or people-powered labor, sort of an agrarian, not so much agrarian, but because we had textile mills and we had factories and we were beginning to develop an industrial base. But the Industrial Revolution was when the work of machines really started.
What was that at?
That's the late 19th century. Well, you know, 1870s, somewhere in there, 1870s, 1880s. People started moving to the cities. People started leaving the farms. I was telling you guys the other night that young women were traveling alone for the first time. And
that's probably when a single bar opened up, huh?
When the what? Are you trying to be funny?
No.
What do you mean singles bars? They didn't have those until much later, like when the flapper or something, right?
The singles bars? What are you talking about?
What am I talking about?
What I'm talking about, I'm not talking about dating. I'm talking, not going to bar. I'm talking about young women coming into the cities for the first time on their own. Young women unescorted. It was not heard of. You see women traveling by themselves. Unless they were super wealthy and they were surrounded by, you know, guys that they hired to carry their bags and run a sword through some guy that was bothering them.
Oh, God, how I wish those days were still with us. God. Excuse me, I'm just being funny.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, you know something, Phil. Someone's got to do a little shtick.
I'll get to it. Anyway, that's the Industrial Revolution. So what we're having right now is we're having a similar, it's a similar historic event. We are seeing things, jobs going away that people used to do. They're never going to come back. We're seeing areas of life that are never really going to return. We have new entertainments, and we have new ways of communicating. We are developing new ways of traveling. We may very soon see the, not the extinction of the automobile, but the automobile is going to change drastically, I feel, within the next 20 years. I know it.
What do you think going to happen?
I think it's going to permanently get smaller, because one of the things we've got to recognize about cars, forget about gas mileage, forget about gas, forget about the car. I'm not talking, the space that an automobile takes up is far more than is needed. You got one person in a car. The damn cars ought to be the size of those Mini Coopers, and guess what's happening? You know?
Well, you're not saying that everyone's going to drive. I refuse to drive an automobile like that. I won't get into a car like that.
Why?
Because if you get into an accident in a car like that, you will die. You're dead before you get into a car like that. You're dead the day you buy it.
Well, Margaret...
No, I am being very serious. The day you buy a Mini Cooper is the day that the coroner should get the death certificate ready. Did you buy a Mini Cooper? Yes. All right, let me just go ahead and fill in the details now.
You're dead?
Yes.
Well, would you be surprised to know that those cars survive high-impact tests as well as many automobiles? In other words, the Mini Cooper they've tested and they have run that thing into a wall, and it has the survival, and it has the damage, I don't know, capability or whatever. It, in other words, it is as strong, it's as sturdy as a car, you know, a normal-sized automobile.
What are you, Phil, it sounds like you made that one up on the fly.
Yeah, it did. Sound like you're all making that up.
No, I heard that, though.
Okay, if I'm making it up during the break, I'll find out the Mini Cooper and all of the specs on it, and I know exactly where I'm going to go. Consumer Reports, Popular Mechanics, all of those really good magazines that tell you how all stuff go and it work good.
Very scientific.
Thank you. All right, we'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show with that and Herb Sewell on this Halloween night 2013. How many Halloweens? I used to dress up as a hobo. That's how we thought that homeless people were good enough to be like, that would scare homeowners into giving us Rice Krispie treats. I don't know. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. Right now we have, as usual, we have our video cast going, and the login problems, I understand, have been solved. We apologize. Those of you who are our backstage pass members, we had a external server go down. It was probably related to the problems back in New York, because many of the folks we do business with are located there. So all's well that ends well. Herb Sewell is joining us here on the Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL and online at philhendryshow.com. And didn't we have some other thing that we were going to do here? What was it?
I'm here, Phil, if you need me to.
What are you doing at the mall?
I don't know. Am I at the mall?
You're at a mall, yeah.
No, you didn't.
Well, you got David Hall's line open, man. Close off line number four. There you go.
I didn't think I was at a mall. I know that I'm outside right now having a cappuccino.
Well, are you just sitting at a cafe?
Well, I'm outside. I'm outside at Starbucks. Just thought I'd come over and have myself a drink as I'm talking to you.
Okay. Anyway, it's good to talk with you, Herb, and I let people know that, you know, you were incarcerated for some pretty sadistic crimes.
Well, that's absolutely correct, and let me just take it from here, Phil. I just, for anyone that's listening, I would like people to know that Phil is absolutely right. I was incarcerated for 8 years for child molestation, for the, you know, sex with a minor, whatever you want to say, and I went inside for that crime, and I did 8 years of some, I would say a very hard time, but I also would say very sadistic time.
All sadistic meaning the doc. See, this is where I begin to wonder whether you were actually rehabilitated.
Oh, no, hold on. Whoa, hold on, Phil. I think even Dr. Southern would say that there were days that he enjoyed the things that he did to me. I would say that there are days.
You know, I would like to ask him about that, because I don't think that's a very healthy comment you're making.
Oh, well, Phil, please do me a favor, will you? Please don't play amateur psychiatrist, all right? Don't play Doogie Howser, all right, Phil? Don't play the psychiatric version of Doogie Howser, all right? You know, because I can tell you, Phil.
No, I'm not playing Doogie Howser. I'm just, I don't know. I would,
Yeah, you don't know. That right there, you don't know. And I can tell you, I think, look, every doctor has a, as they say about dogs, you know, they say, but, you know, every dog has his day, right? Well, every doctor has his day. And dog and doctor, dogter is what I used to call dog tag. I'm getting confused now.
Yeah, you're getting confused, because I think what you're doing is you're letting a little anger begin to seep into your memories of what happened up there at Atascadero. But I can tell you this much, if you are not offending, if you're still, you know, minding your P's and Q's,
And that I am.
All right. Then the work that was done up there is good. And you just keep doing, you know, live your life, Herb, without hurting people, and you're going to be a much happier man.
All right. Well, thank you very much. So you've gone from being Doogie Howser Who is the woman? I hated her so much.
Can we move on to something else?
Hold on. There was a woman that played a psychiatrist, and her name was Jesse. Are you Jesse? Is that you, Jesse? You Jesse? Are you Doogie Howser? Are you Jesse?
Who?
Jesse. Does anyone there know Jesse?
Margaret, you're.
I know the Jesse.
Yes.
Please hold on for a minute, because I don't want to talk to him. All right.
What did she say?
She doesn't want to talk to you.
Fine. That's their constitutional right.
Yeah, I just want to say that Jesse was played by Lindsay Wagner in the early 80s. It was a terrible show. It lasted, I think, less than a season. And it was just, it was rotten. That's the only word I can use for it. Rotten.
Well, Ms. Gray, I know you don't want to talk to me, but I will say this. I wonder how much of your opinion is fueled by, professional jealousy, because everyone knows that you are a failed actress.
Excuse me, I was not a failed actress. I got married.
Yes, of course.
Yes, I got married, and I left the acting business to be a wife and a mother. Mother.
Don't say that word like that, please.
Well, I will, Herb. I'll say it any way I want.
Please don't say that word like that, because you know that I had issues there.
All right, we're not going to get into your issues or her issues or anybody else's. I'm here to just ask you about Halloween and about crime. I know you're right now doing research for a variety of educational institutions and different people who are involved in the education profession, and you do a lot of research and you do a lot of fact-checking and so forth. And so you folks at home know Herb does all of this by way of a telecommunication from your home, right?
Yes, that is correct.
All right. Now, the thing I wanted to ask you about Halloween, Herb, when did Halloween start in the world? What's the tradition of Halloween?
I thought you were going to ask me something more interesting than that, Phil. I thought you were going to ask me about myself and how I began my trick-or-treating.
All right, I'll get to that, but what, give me some history on Halloween.
Well, the history of Halloween really is the history of the Irish, the history of Halloween, Phil, is the history of the, what one would call today the hillbilly Irishman. That would be the rural Irishman. But in those days, and we're talking some 300, 400, 500 years ago, we're talking about if you're rural, there's nothing more rural and there's nothing more billy than the billy Irishman.
And now we say Billy.
Yeah, what did Billy mean?
I'm talking about the hillbilly Irishman. They were very rural, they were very superstitious. And there was a folklore afoot in the Irish countryside in some parts of Great Britain and Scotland that had to do with a spirit, an evil spirit, that one could ward off if one carried a certain lamp through the night, through this particular night, All Hallows Eve and so forth. Well, that lamp turned into a jack-o'-lantern. And I think the name Jack figures in there somewhere. I don't really know what the name Jack. It might be Jack Kevorkian, for all I it's Jack Kevorkian. Because in many ways, Jack Kevorkian is sort of the spirit of the night, walking through the night with the thing and all that. But anyway, so this became the jack-o'-lantern. Now, this was had its originations, of course, in real Irish folklore. And they felt this warded off evil spirit. Well, then it became sort of a party, as so many of these pagan, and so many of these marvelous pagan customs and the marvelous... Ubangi and the... Well, I don't mean Ubangi, but if you take any of these pagan customs from Africa, Asia, and all the oo-boo-boo-boo, ooga-booga, and all that, it's very fun for the kids. They love to put on their moccasins and do that.
All right, let's just sidestep that, okay?
All right, well, I knew you'd want to do that, because Phil's the liberal. But anyway...
Yeah, that's when it comes to that, yes, I am.
All right, so now it becomes the jack-o'-lantern party, and people have parties. Well, when it finally arrived in the United States, it arrived with, guess who, the Irish immigrant. And there's a great deal that the Irishman brought to this country that is not very good. And I say this, Phil, with greatest respect to you. Your ancestors on your mother's side, I believe you said. Isn't that correct?
Yes, my ancestors on my mother's side are Irish.
All right. I say this with all due respect, but the Irishman didn't bring much of anything to the United States in its very early wave of immigration. But vermin and crime, and they needed to be deloused. They were a vile, vile bunch.
Boy, that is a bad generalization.
Where are you getting these ideas?
I thought you weren't talking to me.
Well, I'm talking to you now.
Well, you're not Irish, are you?
What is he saying?
Are you Irish?
No, my ancestors were British.
All right, so you would agree with this.
Let's forget about that, okay? Now I got to take a break. Never mind whether anybody's Irish. Let's just, I want to know what you're talking about, the Irish coming to this country, vermin-ridden.
Oh, they had to be deloused, you had to. And the stink that came off of them is legendary. To this day, people still write about the stench that came off the Irish as they poured out of the boat there in New York Harbor in the 1840s, almost like rats that would come.
All right, hold on for a minute. Boy, Herb Sewell with us here on this Halloween night. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
And the stench and the fire.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Herb Sewell with us as we talk about Halloween. I wanted to get into, Herb, you mentioned what you were doing as a kid.
Yes.
And what, did you trick-or-treat?
Oh, yes, I trick-or-treated, yes.
And by the way, before we get into that, so when did the trick-or-treat part start in Halloween?
Well, a lot of people think that the trick-or-treating part of Halloween, which of course we say, goes all the way back to a Celtic roots. And that's why I was saying that Halloween, it was inspired by our Irish friends. I didn't mean to overdo it there, but it is true that the Irish brought to this country all manner of influence and all manner of bug. And I think that many of the flea and the what are those bugs that...
What are you talking about here, man?
This sounds very racist.
It's not racist. The Irish are not a race. The Irish are Caucasian, so they're white people. You mean it sounds jingoistic or xenophobic. That's what you mean.
I don't know what you mean, but it sounds very racist.
It's not racist because the Irish are not a race.
All right, but it sounds like you're prejudiced against the Irish.
Well, I am.
Why?
Because they brought fleas to this country. There is no...
Will you get out of here with that?
Well, there's no... I'm telling you, there's nothing in the anecdotal literature, and I have studied this, and I have studied at length, where fleas, as we know them today, came to this country any sooner than when the Irish immigrant landed. I'm not prejudiced because I don't like Irish, because I don't like the stink that comes off of them or the smell of the rum on their breath. I'm prejudiced because I don't like fleas. Thank you very much.
And you're prejudiced against the Irish for some reason beyond what you're talking about, okay? But I don't want to talk about this.
Well, I don't know why you should have a racist like this on.
Madam, did you hear what the man said? It's not a race. It's a bunch of Irish. They're not a race. God, how dumb can one whore be if...
I demand you hang up on him.
Look, at Herb, you're going to have to cool it, okay?
Cool what?
Don't call her a whore.
Well, then tell it to shut up. I don't want to talk to it.
It? I demand that you hang up on him or I'm leaving.
Now see what you did, Herb?
All right, I'm sorry.
That's better.
I can get away with just saying I'm sorry, huh?
All right, well, just go ahead and tell us about the trick-or-treating you did as a kid. I don't want to know about fleas or the Irish or anything else.
Believe me, neither do I. And you don't want to hear me go on about it because I have literature, I've got books, I've done the research, and I can tell you, my fine feathered friend, that it wasn't until the Irish arrived in North America that the development of deodorant progressed in earnest.
Okay, so you were a little kid.
So I was a little boy, and yes, I went trick-or-treating.
What kind of costume you wear?
What's that?
What kind of costume?
I didn't wear any costume, no. I never would deign to wear a costume, and it's not because I thought I was something special. I just didn't like putting on costumes. See, the costume at Halloween is to ward off evil spirits, and I thought that was fine. But people began to wear clown outfits. They began to wear slut. I saw a lot of sluts, and I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all.
What do you mean you saw a lot of sluts?
I began to see Halloween costumes, Phil, for what they truly were, the expression of the inner person that was wearing them. And I did not approve. And if you recall, Halloween at one time, you had to wear the costume to ward off evil spirits. But when I saw as a young boy, and it began with Mother, and it also progressed to some of her friends, they loved to dress up in these sexually provocative outfits, which I didn't approve of at all. And I didn't see how any evil spirit would be warded off by a woman dressing in such a manner as to say to the evil spirit, anytime you're ready, I'll just go ahead and back up to your front door, if you'll pardon my expression.
Good God.
Well, that is exactly what Mother and many of the sluts look like. And
so as a little boy, this is what was going around in your mind. Boy, no wonder you had problems later on.
What do you mean problems? I had no problems. I was very clear as a young man. Yes, of course, Dr. Suffolk and the other men there, the Tascadero, who through their sadistic methods were able to make me see a better way. But I would say this to you, that if a young man is raised up in a home like that, where to ward off an evil spirit is to simply throw yourself onto a couch, spread your legs.
Okay, all right. I'm going to have to hang up here if I don't get the story about Halloween and some other stuff that's cleaned up with a, you know, you are talking to me about some kind of problems, trauma. I'm not ready to hear this stuff, Herb, all right?
Well, you're not ready to hear what?
I'm not ready to hear you talk about your mother being a slut, the Irish bringing fleas to North America, the development of deodorant after the Irish arrived.
I met Italians. And
all right, would you tell me about the...
Well, I'll tell you something right now. I'm glad you ain't saying nothing about black people.
Oh, the blacks. Well, I've got some stuff I can tell you.
No. Now, when you were a kid, you were... What are you doing, man? Did you change over from being a child molester to just offend all people?
No, you're asking me about Halloween. It happens to draw together all of these influences. Halloween, like no other festival, no other holiday in American or any other kind of history, no other brings together the many strands of humanity like Halloween. Now, when I was a boy, and I was a very small boy, 8, 9 years of age, it was my determination that I would not dress up in these costumes because I could see dressing up as a slut, dressing up in these ridiculous costumes would not ward off any evil spirit. So instead, I just went out trick-or-treating.
And you didn't dress in a costume?
No, I did not.
What did you wear?
What I wore, instead, was something respectful. I came to the door and asked for Halloween candy. I usually wore a pressed short-sleeve white shirt with a thin black tie, black slacks, dress shoes, had my hair combed.
You came to the door of a house like that?
Yes, I did. And there was only one person in all that time that made, well, I like to call it the mistake. And what I mean by that is simply this. I didn't kill anyone. And I won't go any further than that.
Have you been in... Well, now, Herb, you're starting to admit to...
No. I can tell you that I've been through all of this with the district attorney. So don't worry about it. But the fact of the matter is that...
Well, what happened?
Oh, look at you. Now you want to know all the dirty details. A minute ago, you were talking to me about the Irish. Now they didn't bring fleas over here. Now I tell you about this mixed couple at the...
Okay, if it's got... All right. Herb, I'm going to let you go.
Well, listen. She's the one that said to me, why aren't you dressed up in a costume? And I never forgot that. And then she offered me one of those granola bars. You don't do that to Herb Sewell. You don't do that to anyone related to Herb Sewell. And you certainly don't do that if you're Herb Sewell's mother. But this woman, I didn't know her. And, all right, I'll refrain from her Irish roots and the very obvious flousy, blousy. Anyway, she gave me a granola bar, and that's when it was treat time. And
Oh, so you trick-or-treated, huh?
Yes, of course I did.
All right, even though you're not in costume.
No, I wasn't. I suppose to this woman I was in costume because I was dressed like a proper young gentleman. And I think she was used to seeing young people looking like pigs, looking like things, looking like something that came out of a Dickensian nightmare. Well, not me, not Herb Sewell. No, thank you very much. I prefer to wear my pressed white short-sleeved shirt, my black tie, my black slacks, my dress shoes, my hair brill-creamed. Yes, that's right, brill-creamed, laugh if you will. But there was a time when we were proud of the way we looked. And then if the... Excuse me for saying this, Phil. If the old witch, if the dirty old bitch gave me some kind of a granola bar, I would hide in the trunk of her car until late into the night. And when she came out to use her car in the morning, I'd go, boo! And then I'd run from the vehicle. Now then, years...
Okay, so that's,
Thank God you hung up on that animal.
That was the weirdest story I ever heard.
Would you call her back and tell him that there's only so much I can take in one night?
Yeah, why'd you hang up?
What do you mean, why did I hang up? The guy's taking me too far out, man. He's sounding to me like the bad seed male version or something.
What a bad seed? What's that mean, bad seed?
You ain't ever seen about the... You didn't hear about the bad seed?
Oh, you never saw the bad seed, huh?
What do you mean, bad seed?
Oh, that was a hell of a movie, man. That's one of the best... See, that's a movie... You can't really call it a horror movie, though, because a lot of people say, well, that's a horror movie. Horror movies aren't necessarily... You know, the scary movies aren't necessarily horror movies, you know. A horror movie has got to be... It's got to have an element of phantasm. It has to have an element of, oh, now that could never happen to it. That'll make a horror movie.
No, that's a science fiction. Everybody knows it. It's a science fiction.
No, not everybody knows that. No, not everybody knows that.
Would you call Frankenstein a science fiction or a horror movie? Oh, yeah.
Well, you can call it either one.
But then nobody I've ever met No one worth their salt would call Frankenstein science fiction.
All right, well, in any event, I don't need any more of that nut, man. That's freaking me out. The Bad Seed was a movie about a little girl that was a psychopath. She was a psychopathic little girl. And what she couldn't get, she would get by way of any means. What psychopaths do, a sadistic psychopath will kill. So psychopaths are people that, like I said, you know, they don't feel anything. They just see, oh, I want that, and that person is standing in my way. Well, all I have to do is get rid of them. Like that poor little girl at the... We heard about in the Northeast there, you meant the little girl on the bike?
Oh, yeah, those two brothers, they killed her.
Those two brothers are two peas in the pot. I mean, oh, wow, we want that bike, and there's a girl here. Well, let's kill her, and that way we can have the bike. And they do it with that kind of emotion. You know? They know it's wrong. They know they'll get in trouble. But it's like this. Man, I really want that bike. Yeah, but if we kill her, we're going to get into trouble. Well, I know. So why don't we hide her? Okay. Yeah, they won't find her then. Probably not. And if they do, then we can blame somebody else. I mean, that's that's the thinking. It just doesn't affect them the way it does you and me. And they don't, and so that's why they're not very good at planning these things. They can't cover them up because they don't anticipate the way people are going to react. Anyway, this little girl in the movie, The Bad Seed, she wants things, and so she manipulates people. She manipulates her father. She has a mother who's very conscious of how evil her daughter is because she's beginning to get a sense that, wow, there's some bad stuff going on around my daughter here. Like there's a, I think there's a kid who has something she wants.
Oh, it's a little girl, isn't it?
No, it's a little boy, I thought. But she kills the little boy and she gets this thing that she, oh, it was a prize.
That's right. She wanted to win the prize and she didn't win the prize. The little boy won it. And so she strangled the little boy and dismembered him.
She didn't dismember him.
Oh.
Good Lord. No, she killed a little boy, strangled him, and got this prize. Well, the mother is obviously just grief-stricken, the mother of this little boy, and she is beginning to suspect not so much the little girl did it, but that there's a connection between the two, and she wants to come, and did my little boy say anything? And this mother is, I don't know the actress that played her, but... She's outstanding, and she's distraught, and she's also suspicious, and she's frazzled, and oh, God. And the girl, little girl is McCormick. Patty McCormick is the actress. She grew up to take adult parts, but I don't think she ever achieved the fame that she did with this little kid part. And the funniest thing about this movie is that it was so shocking, it really scared the hell out of people, that they added an ending to it where the little girl is spanked, after the credits, because you come here and they spank her. And it's supposed to give a little bit of comic relief, I think, to the audience. But
I don't know if they added that or they had that in the original.
Well, whatever. I mean, it was obviously a reaction to how shocking the movie was. And then at the end of this movie, she kills the handyman by setting fire to this guy.
What? You're kidding.
Man. Yeah, she sets fire. The guy is sleeping. He's taking a nap on top of some packing material that they keep saying, get rid of that packing material, get rid of the packing material. So he's down there. He's taking a nap on it. And that little girl, the Bad Seed, goes in and sets fire to it. And you hear the guy screaming. And it's messed up.
Man. Not like a good movie.
It scared the hell out of me when I saw it when I was like six. Now it's still kind of freaky. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Halloween night here. Thanks. Sorry, Herb, we had to hang up on you, man. But, you know, when you start getting into the... Just never mind. We'll be right... I popped up out of the back seat and went, boo. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
I'm still here, Phil.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show here and philhenryshow.com. By the way, you should be over downloading the podcast, the Phil Henry podcast on iTunes. Man, we hit number 24. Huh? Yeah!
You're kidding.
Nope. On the comedy chart, man, we're working our way up into the money range now, baby. Look out. Thanks to all the guys at LEG, Darren and the guys. We are at, we made it up to 24. I'm sure we're going to drop down.
But that 24, that's higher than you had ever had been.
Yes, bud. Say that again.
That's higher than had ever been.
Higher? No, it's higher than you had ever.
higher than we'd ever been.
Yes. You two guys are higher than you've ever been. Oh, come on. Give it up.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
Oh, yeah.
All right, look, couple of things we want to do here tonight on the Phil Henry Show, one of which, of course, is to thank all of our BSPs, people that have been helping us with... What is with this music, man?
I think... I cued Bud. I think you need to slow it down.
Yeah, you gotta slow down, Mr. Henry.
Well, what's with this? Is this supposed to slow me down? Is that...
Yeah, it's all you did. It's jazz, you know. You know what? I won't get Mr. I'll get him to Dr. Sadler.
I don't want to talk to Dr. Sadler or anybody else. Do you mind? I can't even hear myself think.
Phil, groove into it, will you please? Quit rejecting it. Quit trying to avoid it. There you go.
What do they want me to do?
Just feel the jazz and slow down into a more jazz pace. Because the show yesterday, when you started, you sounded like you were... Absolutely, you sounded like you were taking amphetamines.
So,
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, man.
Oh, don't give me the yeah, man, okay?
You just gotta... Just relax into it. Yeah, right there, yeah.
All right, it's the talk show here.
Well, you don't have to tell people it's a talk show, just...
All right,
Hey, here, Dylan, get some news here and read that. Wait, I gotta get the music again.
Well, that's not gonna work, man, if the music keeps cutting out.
Here. All right, read this.
And you have to do it in nice jazz.
All right, welcome to the show tonight. And four people were killed in a flaming car wreck out on the... I can't do this, man.
Come on, get relax into it.
This is a flaming car crash.
Would you please... People out there are becoming very... You're making everybody tense, Phil, and you're supposed to relax people. It's an entertainment medium. Okay, entertainment medium.
Yeah.
There you go. Snap your fingers. More. Louder.
Will you get... Yeah, all right. Four people burned to death in...
Come on, man.
Four people burned to death as their car exploded from nitroglycerin. The bodies and body parts were... Oh, come on, man. I can't read that.
Give him something else, bud.
All right, I'll look for something else.
In the meantime, can we kill the music?
You don't like Quincy... You know, I happen to know... Kill the music. Go ahead, bud. Go ahead. I'll let Mr. Jones know. I happen to know Quincy Jones. He's a dear friend, a wonderful man.
I like that song. I like it a lot. Killer Joe, I know that song. In fact, I think I turned you guys onto it.
Excuse me, I've known Quincy Jones for years.
Did you know that that was his album?
I've known... Don't, Phil, don't start doing the one-upmanship? Yes.
Well, in any event, I like the song, but I don't, you know, this whole, hey, man, yeah, four people exploded in a car, you know?
Well, I mean, the jazz ought to relax you.
The jazz ain't gonna relax that.
Here, you like history, don't you?
I love history.
Well, why don't we do a little historical reading here? All right, bud, hit it. Bud, drop it. That's a little...
Yeah, it's great.
All right. Now read this.
All right, yeah.
That's it. Good, Phil. Good. Just relax into it.
Yeah, remember the finger snapping?
Yeah, I gotta do that. Finger snapping.
All right, yeah. All right. At the end of the war, displaced person camps had some 3.5 million people from concentration camps. Are you kidding me with this?
Come on. It's historic, Phil.
I don't need the historic.
Come on, read this. Just relax into it. The problem is you're giving it an interpretation it doesn't need.
Oh, yeah, sure. Displaced persons camp?
Here, read this.
All right.
That's it, yeah. Snap the fingers. Come on.
Yeah, all right, yeah. On Tarawa, the bodies of dead Marines... All right, that's it. That's it. I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want to hear it anymore, okay?
He's flipping out. You better get David on the line.
Don't get David on the line. I don't turn that... Why do I got to be talking about dead Marines on Tarawa, displaced persons, and a car exploding on the 5?
Because that's the news, but you got to relax into it.
Yeah, Phil, the world of talk radio is very tense. We all know this. We all know this. But what you have to do is express to the listener, it's a beautiful smoky cafe. And Phil is your host, you know, huh? You know what I'm saying, right, Phil?
No.
Of course, go ahead. Snap the fingers.
Well, there ain't no music.
Snap the fingers.
Yeah.
That's it. Now, bud, drop it. There you go.
Yeah. All right.
Now, read this.
At the end of his reign of terror, the Zodiac Killer had...
Oh, Phil, you're reading way too much into it.
What do you mean, reading too much into it? How do I read too much into the Zodiac Killer?
I don't know. The Zodiac Killer read?
Not only did he wrote. Okay, that's it. If you want to get David Hall, be my guest, but I ain't doing no jazz talk to Zodiac Killers and Dead Marines on Tarawa, if you don't mind. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, you really took us out of the mood there.
Oh, yeah. That's what I did. All right, coming up, we have Dr. Jim Sadler on the line. You know what? I'm going to ask him about that next hour. Dr. Jim Sadler will join us, and he'll be talking to us about psychopathy. I'm sorry, I'm lisping now.
Remember,
snap the fingers.
Yeah, Dr. Jim Sadler will talk to us about psychopaths and the bodies that were left laying in the guy's... Okay, in any event, that's coming up next hour. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Snap the fingers.
Not snapping any fingers. There's no jazz.
Yeah, I love that jazz, Phil.
Phil Hendry. Shores of El Pacifico. Phil.
All right, welcome back. All right, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And very, very excited this hour. We're going to have along with us Dr. Jim. What is going on now? Why am I hearing that?
Phil, could you hold on for a minute?
Why am I hearing that?
Because you're all, like, you're talking over...
I'll do it. Hold on. Kill the music.
What?
Phil, you started talking before the announcer had finished. There is a very clear slug that's used on your program. Phil Hendry... And now here's Phil Hendry, or whatever it is that he says, I don't know, I don't care, but you were talking over top of that man. That's when I cued Bud. That's when I said, Bud, drop it. And, well, not now, Bud.
Yeah. All right.
Not now, Bud.
Yeah.
You turn it off, Bud, please.
Turn it off, man. I said not now.
Oh.
So because I jumped the cue, you want me to what?
Chill out. All right, Bud, drop it. All right. Snap the fingers. Let's do the intro again.
All right, the Phil Hendry Show here, and...
That's beautiful. Keep going.
All right, Phil Hendry Show coming up this hour. We have...
Keep going.
Well, I can't because the music ended.
Bud, what is it with you?
That's how long it is. Go.
All right, Phil Hendry Show, and coming up this hour, we have Dr. Jim Sadler, who will talk to us about sadistic psychopaths who dismember people and... Why don't you guys give me something to read that's better than that?
Well, I'm sorry, Phil, I didn't prep your show for you. If you had something... And maybe this is the problem. Kill it, Bud. I said to kill it, Bud. Maybe this is the problem with your program, because you have all of this abnormal behavior. You talk about abnormal people...
I have abnormal people sitting in co-hosting with me.
That was not necessary. That what a cheap, dirty...
Yeah, that, you know, Mr. Air, the cheap shot.
You talk about me, too?
I'm joking around, God.
Oh, yeah, sure. Every time people say things they really mean, they get around it by saying, I'm joking around, oh, my God. Well, guess what? Mama's not buying that anymore. You think of me as a freak, don't you? Go ahead, say it.
No, I do not think of you as a freak.
If you're lying to me...
I swear to God, I don't think of you as a freak, Margaret. Will you knock it off with that, Bud?
Yeah, you gotta chill out, man.
Margaret, I don't really think of you as a freak, you know? I think of you as...
Well, now you're giving me the creeps. You sound like some sort of a heroin addict.
Well, I'm sorry they asked me to talk this way.
I think we have to try Dr. Sadler come on here, too.
Yeah, okay. Well, why don't you keep it playing?
Play for Dr. Sadler.
All right, well, Dr. Jim Sadler is going to join us. I mean, anything to keep you guys happy, God knows. Dr. Jim Sadler joining us now from San Diego, California, as we talk tonight about the the real side, if you will, of evil and Halloween, and very much the real side to all of this. And it was sort of, I guess, for the first time articulated in a the stunning manner that it was in the movie Halloween, where we suddenly brought together modern culture with this traditional fun festival of, you know, spooks and ghosts and goblins and evil. Dr. Jim Sadler joining us tonight. Doctor, how are you?
I'm very well, Phil. Thank you.
Dr. Sadler, am I right about that? Halloween, the first Halloween movie, was the first time that America blended its fears, its real fears rooted in the encroaching and ever-emerging criminality of the 70s, having to do with serial killers. And we really didn't talk about serial killers to any great length the way we did in the 70s and the way we continue to talk about them today.
I think that's a fair reading. I think that what John Carpenter and the filmmakers after him, I think there was hints of that. There were hints of what we would call the disturbing aspect to of these otherwise fun movies. There's always been a disturbing aspect, but the blending of reality, as you say, was with the 70s Last House on the Left. Is another film, and
yeah, that's a very good example. That was based on an Ingmar Bergman movie, correct?
Ingmar Bergman or Ingrid? Ingrid Bergman, Ingrid Berger.
Ingrid.
Oh, that's a woman, right? Yeah, no, you're right. Well, who is Ingrid Bergman?
Ingrid Bergman was the actress.
Well, that was the one that made the movies, right?
No, that was a guy that made. Ingmar Bergman was the director. Ingrid Bergman was the one that was the actress, right, Margaret?
Yes, Ingrid Bergman was the one who married the director, Rossellini. Her daughter is Isabella Rossellini.
Oh, all right, okay, yeah, now I know, yes. I can't say it good.
Ingmar Bergman.
Ingmar Bergman, the I believe it was Virgin Spring or The Seventh Spring, some title like that, I forget, that the film Last House on the Left is about. Now, Inger Stevens, who's she? See, that's what made me confused.
Inger Stevens is who?
I don't know. That's why when you said Ingmar Bergman, we were talking about the horror movies of the 70s.
Yeah, let's just forget about that. Okay, so the horror movies of the 70s. I'm sorry I brought that up.
Or did I bring it up?
I thought you brought it up, Doctor.
I might have, and in that case, I apologize. If I didn't bring it up, then I would ask you to apologize, but a little ridiculous.
Can we just get back to the point here that I'm talking about horror movies.
But it is bothering me about Inger Stevens.
You know what? It's not Inger, it's Ingrid Stevens.
Who's Ingrid Stevens? Excuse me for raising my voice.
Well, hey, bud. Go ahead, bud. Drop it. All right.
Wait a minute.
Dr. Sadler said to drop it.
Drop that. Dr. Sadler, if you don't mind, okay, I will control the elements of my radio show. I appreciate you looking out for me, but believe me, I'm...
It sounded to me like you were beginning to lose it. Ingrid Stevens made The Virgin Spring, or maybe he didn't. I don't...
Ingrid Stevens was a female, because I know the name Ingrid is a female, and I don't know anything about her, and I know that Ingmar Bergman was the director, and I don't know anything else about him, and I don't think we have to talk about that, okay?
Relax, will you? Jeez.
Phil, you really have to relax.
All right. Well, let's get back to what we were talking about, which was the horror of the 70s and I guess the school of horror that it gave rise to.
Well, I think that is the point here. Now, yes, there were echoes, or I should say there were rumblings that were the beginnings of Disturbia, what I call Disturbia. They finally made a movie called Disturbia, by the way. But what I call Disturbo, and the Disturbo or Disturbia is the film that gives you, for want of a better term, it gives you the creeps, because it is reflective of reality. You mentioned the film on air the other night, Phil, Eyes Without a Face. That is not really, as scary a movie as it is, it's not really reflective of reality. Because in that film, we see a level of fantasy that goes beyond what we could accept as real, see?
Well, Halloween was the same way, wasn't it?
Halloween has, at the end of it, the sort of the ghost
of Michael Myers, we become aware of this ghost, because the Michael Myers character, we have some intimation that he will return, that he was not killed, perhaps he cannot be killed. There are some films, allegedly horror movies, that have none of that fantasy. And that, of course, is an example that you gave, The Bad Seed. It doesn't have the reality, or it has the reality that the Last House on the Left, or even Halloween, don't have.
Hold on. What's wrong?
Well, can I talk to you during the break?
Yeah, I'm on the air right now.
I'm sorry.
Am I interrupting?
No, Doc, go ahead.
So when we talk about Halloween, or we talk about Last House on the Left, or we even talk about movies like, let's talk about Dario Argento, who's a great director.
Argento.
I thought it was Argento.
No, it's Argento. Argento is a phenomenally successful and, gosh knows, talented filmmaker, a horror filmmaker from Italy.
He made Suspiria.
Yes.
He also made Demons, I think.
He did make Demons.
And then I think his son got involved, and I know his son because I bought a Lamborghini from the same dealer that sold him his Lamborghini.
All right, I'll tell you what, let's take a break here. Dr. Jim Sadler.
All right, well, just so you know, I'd like to return because I want to get into the logistics and the legends of a lot of these things.
All right, we'll be right back with Dr. Jim Sadler here. Put him on hold, bud.
But
put him on hold, bud. Thank you. What's up?
I can't stand it anymore.
All right, well, we'll talk during the break. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth.
Oh, hold on, Dr. Sadler, okay?
The yeah. Phil Hendry
I'm
Show.
I'm going to have a glass of lemonade.
Of lemonade?
Lemonade.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I don't like clam. I told my wife I don't like clam, and I told her I don't like the clam.
All right. We're talking with Dr. Jim Sadler and discussing where reality and where horror meet. And in our culture, with films particularly, and probably most notably, we've seen the blending more and more of the horror of fantasy, which came down through the many years, through the many decades and centuries, really, from all kinds of legend, whether it be the vampire or the reanimated monster, things like that. And then we have real life, where we have the psychopathic killers, we have serial killers, we have this kind of mayhem, and where those two began to blend. So you're talking about the 70s.
Right, Phil. And you brought up a couple of good examples. I think that the first to really break out was Halloween and Last House on the Left. Again, it predates those days to some of the earlier movies. You know.
What about, of course, when we talk about fantasy, we talk about the blending of reality with horror. I mentioned The Bad Seed. That's reality. But then you have films that are fantasy, like The Hills Have Eyes, or
The Bad Seed was, and The Hills Have Eyes. I would not call either one of those horror. The Hills Have Eyes.
Do you need some water?
Yeah, let me have some. I'm gonna drink some lemonade. Get some lemonade. What? Lime juice? Yeah, lime juice is good, but lemonade is good too.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry?
Nothing. Everything's good.
All right, but if you look at a movie like The Hills Have Eyes, and you look at a movie like The Bad Seed, those are two movies that are based in that's a reality. Is that what you meant to say?
The Hills Have... I can see The Bad Seed. The Hills Have Eyes?
The Hills Have Eyes. I don't see anything. What do you see in that movie that's fantasy? I don't understand.
What are you talking about, mutant coming out of here?
Excuse me, Dr. Sadler. The Hills Have Eyes has a pack of mutants attacking a family.
Right. I mean, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but that's something that I personally have experienced. I know others. I mean, what are you saying?
What do you mean you've experienced it?
What I'm trying to tell you is that's a reality. Give me some more lemonade lime juice, please. No, I don't want any glitter, not yet. So, I'm sorry, I'm not understanding.
I don't think that we're understanding. You're saying that The Hills Have Eyes, when we're talking about horror, okay?
When you talk about a horror movie, you're talking about a movie that has a element, as you very well said, Phil, an element of fantasy or phantasm. When you're talking about science fiction, you're talking about a movie that has an element of fiction to the science that they're presenting. But if you're talking about a movie like, for instance, The Silence of the Clams,
I'm sorry, The Silence of the Clams?
Yes, he said.
No, I didn't say The Silence of the Clams. I said The Silence of Clams.
The Silence of the Lambs.
Well, then why don't you say lambs, all right?
Who's she talking to?
Margaret,
Who's she talking to?
No one. She's talking to me.
No, she's not. Are you talking to me?
Well, Dr. Sadler...
I'm talking about the movie The Silence of the Clams.
Yes, The Silence of the Clams. I'm going to go to the toilet.
She's going to the where?
She's got to go to the toilet. Go ahead, Margaret.
Well, hold on for a minute. Dr. Sadler, I have to take a bowel movement.
Oh, my God. Was that the woman?
Margaret, why did you do that?
To let him know that I... Never mind.
Oh, my God. I've never been spoken to before like that ever in the history of my life. To someone to talk to me like that.
All right, Dr. Sadler, you have a bit of a Pennsylvania, New Jersey accent. You swallow your L a little bit.
Oh, of course. All of us from that region of the country swallow our L's. So what? Is she trying to tell me that I sound like a retard? Because I can tell you, Mr. Henry, I've addressed conventions loaded down with people. I mean, they line up to hear me speak.
Well, I'll bet they do.
I thought I heard some laughter.
No. I was sneezing. Or, Bud, you were sneezing, right?
Yeah, yes, sir. I sneezed.
You sneezed it. Anyway, Phil, as I was saying, The Silence of the Lambs, The Bad Seed, these are films that are rooted in reality. But if you are talking about... And The Hills Have Eyes, okay? That's another one that's rooted. But if you talk, and The Bad Seed. But if you're talking about Fantastic...
So I just want to be clear. The Hills Have Eyes are rooted in reality.
Are? You mean is?
Yeah, I'm sorry, is.
You're talking about, why'd you say are?
I guess The Hills Have Eyes. I was thinking about the eyes in the hill.
In the hill?
In the hills. The eyes in the hills. I pluralized, they are, and I should have said it.
Right, but, you know, it scared me because... I and my family lived that. We lived that reality once. Where we were out on a camping trip, Phil, when I was a boy of 15, and I can tell you that mutants crept into our campsite. Excuse me, I'm gagging a bit thinking about it. Mutants crept into our campsite and terrorized us. And it was only after we were able to get them out of the campsite, and I can tell you, I've never been more frightened before in my life. You know, and
what? How did you get rid of them?
Well, they wanted kerosene for their barbecue. And
what are you talking about? They wanted kerosene.
What do you mean a hill have I?
What was that? Was a fascinating mutant. Who was that?
That's Bud Dickman. What do you mean they wanted kerosene?
It was these mutants.
Were they just a family that pulled in next to you?
Oh, sure. That's what you call them. But,
all right, Dr. Sadler, I guess you're going to believe what you're going to believe, but I want to get on more with something more substantial here as we talk about The Hills Have Eyes. The mutants crept into your campsite, huh?
Yeah, they were people from no kerosene. They were standing over. They looked like mutants to me, although I did wind up dating their daughter. And I thought about marrying her. So she wouldn't marry me because I had a speech impediment. So
all right, thanks a lot, Doc.
What do you mean, thanks a lot? Are you getting rid of me? Just because, you know, your problem is, you know, you can't laugh at yourself. You, those people that don't know how to laugh at them.
Is he gone?
Yes, he's gone. God, what are you hiding from?
I'm not going to sit here and listen to that tell me that I'm mispronouncing Silence of the Lambs.
No, he says Silence of the Clams. I looked it up.
No, you didn't look up anything.
No, I mean it's Silence of the Lamb.
Not Silence of the Lamb, Silence of the Lambs.
Never in my life have I had an interview like that where we can't even get the names of things straight. And meanwhile, this guy's telling me that the Hills Have Eyes. Oh, well, that's based in reality. My family and I, we went up against that once. They wanted to borrow kerosene.
Well, he must be very prejudiced against rural people or something.
I don't know who he was talking about. Just some people that scared him and his family. He wound up dating their daughter, but she wouldn't marry him because he had a speech impediment. Oh, man.
Young man, you're laughing about a guy having a speech impediment.
I'm laughing at him, man. I'm laughing at Dr. Sadler, the freak. All right, guys, that was very interesting. World-famous Phil Henry Show. We got to dig into some news. I want to mention also our website, philhenryshow.com, is the place to go to get our video cast, which we are on the air right now. You know, this is our video cast. We are now Apple-friendly, so you can get our video on demand. You can watch the video cast of every night's show on your iPad, on your iPhone, as well as your Droid. We are compatible with all of those, and we are not too far away from delivering live streaming to your Apple product as well. But we do want to mention to you that on demand, on your iPhone, on your iPad, on your mobile device, the Phil Henry Show on demand is now mobile. So if you're sitting having breakfast, if you're having lunch, if staying up late at night is, you know, a little much, have no fear. Go ahead and check out your iPhone and watch us any time of the day or night. And you can check it out from wherever you are, man, in the subway, in your car, while you're driving. You can be driving and...
Phil, don't encourage them.
I'm kidding. Don't use your cell phone. If you're driving, don't use your cell phone in your car. You can use a handheld device if you're not the driver, right?
I don't know. I don't think you can.
No.
What? What are you talking about?
Well, I wouldn't.
If I'm sitting and I'm not driving and I'm holding the cop's going to pull you over?
I don't know. I wouldn't.
Well, guys, I think that's a load of horse dung. Go ahead and use it if you're not driving. We'll be right back with more on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Why don't you learn how to laugh at yourself and go see Silence of the Lambs?
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you very much, Dr. Sadler, for joining us. So the guy swallows his L's. I don't know what you want me to say.
I don't care. For that man to talk to me the way he did.
Well, he wasn't talking to you. He just simply was saying that he was saying stuff that we didn't understand. He's swallowing his L's. That's a feature that I don't know if even the people that swallow their L's. I think Dr. Sadler is, I think he's one of the rare people that actually knows that he swallows his L's.
But you're talking about swallow L's. That guy's talking weird.
It's swallowing of the L. It's like clams, like that. They say that. That's a. It's a common thing among people in certain parts of the country. I don't know whether it has to do with what. What does it have to do with?
Probably like the Germans or something.
What do you mean, German?
Like when the Germans came over here.
Germans came here?
Yes, when they immigrated here, not the Nazis.
Oh.
I'm not talking about Nazis, man. I'm talking about like a German come here, and they made the English sound funny.
The Germans made the English sound funny. You know, I often wonder, because you can actually read up on this, what made, for instance, what is it that informed the Appalachian accent? Was it the English? Was it the Welsh? Every time I'm reading about the history of the United States, there's one nationality that pops up a lot, and it's the Welsh. I always see the Dutch and I see Germans, but I always see these little things. And then, of course, the Welsh people migrated here.
Well, what did they talk like?
They're probably the ones that swallowed their L's.
Why do you say that?
Just to stand to reason, because everybody else talks normal. I never even heard of them.
You've never heard of the Welsh from Wales?
Get out of here.
No, it's a real place.
Where is it?
In England.
Really?
Yes, what are you telling me, really? What, do they make it up or something?
I never heard about it.
Well, you've never heard of... Have you ever heard of Ireland?
Yeah.
Well, there's one. Score one for Bud.
Bud, Wales is part of the island of England. You know how they got England there, and Scotland.
Where's that?
That's on the same island, man. What do you mean, where's that?
I don't know, man. People say about England.
Man, look. If you got it here, I'll draw it. See that blob that I just draw there?
Yeah. That looks like America.
What do you mean it look like America?
You got a Florida there.
No, man. This is supposed to be England. Just forget about what it's shaped like, okay?
All right.
Now, that blob there, that's England, right?
Okay. Where's Ireland?
That island right here.
Ireland's an island off to the side of it there.
That's Ireland.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Hold just the old phone here. Do you realize that what we're doing here, that this guy, Bud, he represents a lot of people?
Well, what do you mean he doesn't represent me?
No, I know that, but he represents a lot of people in their ignorance of geography. This is exactly the kind of conversation that people have with people. Educated people. People with brains. People with IQs. And they can't find Ireland, England, America. They wouldn't be able to find... They wouldn't find America, man, if you let them use both hands and the map was about the size of a postcard. They wouldn't be able to find it.
That right there is Ireland.
That blob. That's not Ireland, though.
It's a freaking drawing, okay?
Yeah, now right over here, that's Wales.
What?
That out of Wales?
Where you put that right there, that looks like Norway.
That's Norway or Sweden.
I thought that was Wales.
That's not Wales, you idiot. Give me that. Wales is right there. It's part of this big blob that Robert drew called England. Up here is Scotland. There's Wales. There's England.
Oh, there's three of them.
There's three of them, yeah.
Then why do they call it England?
Because that's just the way they call it, man. They've come to call all of it England, but it's actually United Kingdom, if you want to call it that. Great Britain. Didn't you hear him say GB during the Olympics?
No, I heard the GD. Did everybody say GD?
They say GD, but they were saying GB.
Yeah, but GD is...
I know what GD is. We're not talking about it. GB is Great Britain. That Great Britain is that, and a little bit of that.
What do you mean a little bit of that?
Northern Ireland, okay? So, God, I'm out of breath from doing all of that.
Well, they ought to... I didn't make the countries up.
No, man, you didn't make the countries up. You got to learn out where they are.
You didn't know where they were. You thought that was Norway.
No, at least I know where England is.
All right, hold on. Pretty shocking, Robert. You're telling me that Wales is up where Sweden is. What the hell is that about?
That's what I thought it was, okay?
All right, well, you're wrong. That's Wales. Anyway, so the Welsh were supposedly a major immigration thing here in the United States of America and the whole thing, and, you know.
So they're the ones that made the Appalachian people sound like they want to have sex with a man? I don't know.
Yeah!
Anyway, the Appalachian people, first of all, those were not Appalachian people, were they? They were mountain people in Kentucky or Tennessee, I don't know. Those poor people will never live that down, man. All right, Romney resumes the campaign. Obama has been dealing with this storm. How you guys doing? Did that storm, it's, oh God. Mitt Romney resumes a full campaign schedule in Florida after taking a break Tuesday to encourage storm donations to the Red Cross. Meanwhile, President Obama will spend another day focused on Sandy recovery efforts. And there's all kinds of reports in the news on that. The elections are looming, and the polls say that in some areas, President Obama holds a 1 or 2 point lead. In other areas, it looks as if, for instance, they're pulling, Romney, that is pulling very, very even. Here's an interesting story. With the politics being swept aside, both President Obama and Governor Christie are being credited with uniting over the devastation of Tropical Storm or Superstorm Sandy. The power of the image could not have been lost on a politician as savvy as Governor Christie of New Jersey. With days to go before a cliffhanger election, a Democratic president was given the handshake back pat to his Republican opponent's most aggressive campaigner as they prepared to embark on a tour of damage from a catastrophic storm. Before Sandy hit, Christie, a Republican, had been scheduled to campaign for Republican presidential nominee Mitt Romney, but he embraced the moment when President Obama praised the governor Wednesday after they finished their tour of storm-ravaged New Jersey. "I want to let you know your governor is working overtime." That's what President Obama said of Governor Christie. The two were soon seen swapping compliments. "It's been a great working relationship," Christie said. "I cannot thank the president enough for his personal concern and compassion for our state," he added during a news conference. Now, only last week, Christie dismissed the president as clutching for the light switch of leadership. But there he was, standing with President Obama and complimenting him in the warmest of ways. I got to tell you, though, I wish I had some, you know.
Well, hold on. Don't just blow past that. That's very significant. That is Governor Christie having to eat crow.
Why you say that?
Because, just as Phil said, last week he was saying that Obama was clutching at the leadership, at the light switch of leadership.
Yes.
And now he's sucking you.
That's sucking anything. He's complimenting the man.
Exactly. And I want to know how Governor Christie and his Republican stooges will spin this one. And
Margaret, will you hold? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hit the microphone. Would you hold on for a minute? Why does everything have to be such a moment of insult?
What do you mean?
The two men, the governor of a state, the president of a country, acting like we want them to act, you know, cooperating, talking like civilized human beings, like Americans. One guy's a Democrat, the other guy's a Republican, whatever. And they're saying, all right, let's get it, you know, we got people to help here. We got people whose homes have been destroyed. We got people that may be, you know, injured. Let's get it together. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it. I'd like to see more of it out of Governor Christie and the Republican stooges.
This is my problem here. Every single opportunity is an opportunity for insult.
Yeah, you should be say good things about Governor Christie.
Well, Bud, you're no better with you guys on the Republican side. You've been knocking Obama left and right.
Yeah, man, you talk about Obama like he's a bad president. There he is helping bail out people and everything like that.
He didn't do anything. It's the Congress of America that done it.
Wait a minute. In a situation like this, it's an executive action.
That's right.
Hold on. It's an executive action, which means President Obama doesn't have to go to the Congress for jack squat. He's the president. He is the head of the executive branch. There are certain monies that he is empowered to free up, especially in times of national emergency. And that's what you do as a president. The system of government we have is one in which, thank God, we have three branches. We have the executive, we have the judiciary, we have the legislative. They all act independent of each other, and each has its own powers, and each checks and balances the other. That's why I thought I was going to go crazy when I listened to what I thought were educated people, and it was back during the 2008 election, or maybe it was the midterms between 2004 and 2008, and I listened with absolute stunned, whatever the word would be.
Nudity.
Nudity?
But looking for a word.
No, it's not stunned. No, you were in stunned silence.
Yeah, stunned silence. As I heard these idiots say, you know, there's too many Democrats and there should be more Republicans. Oh, yeah? Yeah, that's checks and balances. I'd say, what are you talking about, checks and balances? Well, and then they would, when you finally explain to them what checks and balances is from the actual civics lesson, well, you know what I mean. I mean, balancing out, oh, no, I don't know what you mean, you moron. Go away. There's a lot of Democrats. There ain't enough Republicans because people are voting for Democrats and not for Republicans, okay? And you can't force people to vote for what they don't want to vote for. So if you call that checks and balances, I guess it ain't working. But that ain't checks and balances. Thank you very much. So it's been a great working relationship, he said. I can't thank the president enough, said Governor Christie. Only last week he was, saying he was clutching at the light switch of leadership. While the political odd couple bonded, the sun came out in the region, the stock exchange reopened, and the electricity crisis ebbed somewhat. But there are fatalities, and the number of fatalities did rise, and some areas were still coming to grips with the destruction of Sandy. In pockets of New Jersey in particular, the storm scope was becoming clear. I maintain it's impossible not to make political hay out of any situation. It's impossible. And people, even as they say, don't make this about politics, make it about politics.
What do you mean?
What I mean is we have fatalities here. And there will be people say, well, now let's not be political now. Come on. Well, but they will be. And the same thing with 9/11, they were. And the same thing with every other disaster. Don't be political. How dare you make it political? And even as they're saying, how dare you make it political, they're making it political because they're using that against their opponent. So just if you're going to say to somebody, don't make it political, and you want to prove to me that you yourself are not being political about it, then the only thing that would convince me is if you compliment that guy. You know, you shouldn't make that political because, Governor Christie, ordinarily I admire your, you know,
the buffet you have at the governor mansion.
Yeah. Oh, that's really funny.
Well, look at the guy.
All right. We'll be right back. The Phil Hendry Show with more here on Not Making It Political, man. World famous Phil Hendry Show, and more to come. More guests to come. I guess Frank is going to be along here in a moment. And others. Oh, little Ian Anderson will be with us, too. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, and of course, online at philhendryshow.com. We are also on Facebook at facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, P-H-A-N-S, and we're on Twitter at twitter.com/RealPhilHendry. You can check out those sites for our Phil Hendry Show quote of the day. I didn't see the show quote today. What was it, bud?
Austin DeMarco, and I love animals so much I kill them.
What an asinine thing to say. Why would you have that as the quote of the day?
I thought it was very funny. You know?
Yeah, it's about being funny. I don't care what... Why?
Well, what do you mean about being funny? I don't like animals so much that I kill them.
No, I love animals so much I kill them.
Yeah. We had one from you.
I know, and I... You know my attorney has...
Yeah, your attorney's been in touch with us. You mean your husband, Frank? Yes, and I said to Frank, sorry, but it was quoted on our show. And Frank wasn't making a big deal out of it because, you know, that legally you couldn't challenge that.
Well, I found that to be very offensive.
Margaret, you were on my show talking about the Greek guy making love to you. I didn't tell you to talk about that, okay?
I was talking about a lovely memory, and what do you quote from all of it? That ain't cucumber sauce.
That's what you said.
Yeah, you said it, because people would have thought...
Don't worry about what people would have thought, okay?
Well, it's true. It wasn't cucumber sauce.
Okay. 877-876-7445 and online with us now is Larry Grover. Larry joining us from Culver City, California. Larry, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, Bill. It's a pleasure to be talking to you here on All Hallows Eve. Huh? Happy Halloween, everybody.
Absolutely. And you're the first guy to wish us a happy Halloween. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Well, we had a couple of kids come to the door, and as I picked up your mantra, Phil, which is I got a bag of candy for a kids and a loaded shotgun for the weirdos. And
well, that's I was kind of joking about that, you know.
No, I don't think. I think the two of you are perfect.
Who is that? Is that Ms. Gray? Margaret, how are you? I wish you a happy. I feel like you're the Scrooge of Halloween.
Perfect. Yeah.
I am not a Scrooge. It just sounds to me like the two of you with a loaded shotgun. That makes sense.
No, Margaret, I was not serious about that. I said that, you know.
All right, so well, let's not worry about it. Let's talk. Well, anyway, happy Halloween to you, and I'm happy because I got my fill of the. I love the little tiny Snickers. You know, do you like those?
I love them. Love them. Love those little tiny candy bars. No matter what they are.
Aren't they great? And we bought an abundance of the little teeny weeny Snickers. And Mother has how many more do you have, Mother?
Larry almost ate all of them. Hi, Phil.
How you doing, dear?
Okay. I didn't almost eat all of them. We still got a bag of the little teeny-weeny ones that I like, okay?
Watch how you say teeny-weeny.
You stop, Mother. Please. I mean, seriously.
Well, you said teeny-weeny.
Yes, I said teeny-weeny as in teeny-weeny candy bars. Can you believe this?
All right, let me ask you about the election coming up. I just saw some numbers that show or purport to show that President Obama has a 1-point lead in Florida, a 5-point lead in Ohio, and a 2-point lead in Virginia. And they are calling this this most recent storm, this terrible storm that everyone's dealing with. And this is an example of what I'm talking about when they say don't politicize, and yet everybody does. They're saying that the hurricane or tropical storm Sandy slammed Romney's momentum.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, Phil, and I don't want to make politics out of it, and then I won't, but the fact of the matter remains that when President Obama is on the center stage, he's on television, and he's seen every night, and he's seen every day, and all night and all of the day, you know, like that song that they used to do, I forget the name of the group, but there was a song called All Night and All of the Day, And that's where Obama's been on television as he goes from, you know, these different communities and helping the people. And that's what he does. That's what a president's supposed to do. But you really, you know, could it, I got to tell you something. This guy, and excuse me, I respect the office of the presidency, but he must have been born with a horseshoe up his, you know, to have this kind of luck. And
luck? What do you call that, luck? This has devastated people. It's destroyed the historic part of the boardwalk there in New Jersey. It has left people homeless. There are more and more fatalities. How do you call that luck?
Come on, Phil, let's talk straight here, okay? No, you're right. It's a terrible, terrible event. But for Obama, it is a public relations blessing. You can't say it any other way.
Why? This is exactly what I was talking about, Larry, making politics out of this disaster, okay?
And I'm not trying to benefit from it.
It's not necessarily trying to benefit. It's tearing the other guy down. But no matter what, people are going to politicize it, whether they want to or not.
Well, look, I'm not going to... No, I'm sorry. You cannot hang that around my neck. I am not saying that... I'm not making it political. I'm making a statement of fact. Deny, if you will, the fact. Deny this, if you will. And I dare anybody to deny that Obama hasn't benefited from having all of the news media following him around with that horseshoe he was born with crammed up his blankety blank. And
I don't call it lucky. I don't call it lucky at all. If a guy's going to be elected president of the United States and he happens to get some TV time because people have died and there has been devastation, I don't call him lucky. I call him the president of a country that's had a terrible disaster hit it, and he's got to go out and he's got to fix things. It's his job.
Well, okay, but why don't you call that lucky? The guy was born with a horseshoe up...
Will you knock it off with the horseshoe up the you-know-what?
Well, let me tell you something, Phil. You know what the HARP is? You know what HARP is?
The what?
HARP. H-A-R-P. It stands for a High Altitude Resonating Perpendicular something. I don't know. It's a specific. It stands for something specific. High altitude robot. I'll tell you what it is. It is something that the U.S. government has been developing where we can aim a ray or a beam into the atmosphere and manipulate the weather.
Oh, would you come on?
Wait a minute. Whoa, hold on for a minute. Why is it with guys like you always want to dismiss things?
I'm getting sick and tired of people trying to explain how it is that they are not winning, how their side isn't winning, how their philosophy isn't borne out, how their view of the world isn't borne out, and it must be because somebody's got some secret weapon somewhere.
Oh, brother, that's the biggest load of hooey. What, did you write that down, or did that just come right out of your mouth?
Hold on for a minute. Larry Grover with us. I'll let him talk. We'll talk to Larry in the next hour here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we talk about the politicizing of the Sandy Storm. And let's not politicize it, whatever you do, but hey, what a lucky guy Obama is, huh? We'll be back, Phil Hendry Show.
He must have been born with a horseshoe.
Phil Hendry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Anybody hearing a beep on the video cast? That's the latest news that I'm getting here. I'm listening to my headphones. I'll tell you what, there could be one possible thing that's going on. Oh, I know what it is. I know what it is. The DDR was up. Is that it? The DDR was up.
What's the DDR?
The DDR is our video. It's our video player, and I had the volume up on it, and and the beeping is probably that damn fire thing. That see this fire thing? Yeah, like that. You know, if the beeping's gone now, yeah, it's okay. Sorry, guys. I haven't done that in a long time. And what happened was, I'm just talking to the people who are viewing a video cast. I apologize, but I used to leave that DDR volume up all the time. It used to drive people crazy, and I finally have remembered most of the time to turn it down. But we had a situation with the Jack I. Gagder Lions show tonight, whereby we had to do some manipulation with the audio. It's all a lot of very technical stuff. And anyway, Larry Grover back on the line with us. Okay, Larry, and let's just reboot, if you will, reset, if you will.
By the way, something's about to happen that is, I don't want to, I would like to just simply say, you know, Phil, in keeping with what you and I were talking about, I really wish the people of the East Coast the very best. Whatever this American can do, Larry Grover and Mother, I know you feel the same way.
Phil, thank you, Larry. I want to just say, Phil, to everyone, that Larry and I are committed to support all of America in whenever we have an emergency.
Exactly right.
And I love and support President Obama. I know Larry does, too.
Yes, I respect the president.
Are you wishing that the president failed here?
What do you mean, am I wishing the president failed?
Well, you remember when Rush Limbaugh said that he hopes the president fails.
I wasn't talking about this.
Oh, how do you know? He said that he wanted Obama to fail. Do you want him to fail? He failed. Look at how I got little teeny weeny here. I got him all tongue-tied. And
would you mind giving me the phone back, Mother?
Oh, boy, she's really sticking it to you tonight, huh?
Yeah, what is that supposed to mean? She's sticking it to me. Did you hear what she just said?
Well, she made a pretty good point.
What point did she make?
She asked, do you want the president to fail?
Oh, give me a break. He wasn't talking about that.
Well, you know what, man? To hear the quote and to hear people talking about it afterwards, I don't know whether they... I don't know what they meant. If you're saying, now here's a picture on TV of President Obama and Governor Christie, and they're walking around and they're saying hello to people, and here's the president meeting the workers, and Governor Christie, I've got a nice 2,000-calorie-a-day diet, whenever you want to hear about it.
Yeah, that's a great one. Make fun of a guy's big, fat, you know...
Governor Christie's got a big ass on him.
Mother, would you please?
She's right. She's absolutely right. I'm not knocking the governor because I've been fat. And I'll tell you one thing, Governor Christie. When you're that fat, you don't want to be tucking your shirts in, brother. You just want to get that nice big balloon Hawaiian shirt.
Well, what's that going to look like on the governor of an American state to be walking around with a big balloon down Hawaiian shirt?
Well, what's it look like right now with him tucking that stuff in, man? You know?
Oh, okay, man. You know, we're talking here, Phil.
All right, let's get to the point. You want Governor Christie to succeed. I want Governor Christie to succeed. You want President Bush to fail.
No, I don't want him to fail.
That's what Limbaugh said, and that's what all you guys went, oh, well, oh, gosh, Rush. Everybody was agog and aghast and giggling and loving it.
Wait, we were not talking about that.
Well, I wouldn't know it. I mean, I didn't hear you guys differentiating anything. It's everything that this guy wants to do, bad for the country. You know.
All right, can we talk like adults?
Oh, now we're going to talk like adults. See, this is the thing with you guys. When I catch you in something, you want to talk like an adult. I'll be happy to talk like an adult.
All right, let me talk like an adult, okay? Let me talk like an adult. The president can aim a ray down onto the earth from the clouds.
Now, are we talking about like adults now?
Oh, okay. So, in other words, I'm talking like a goofball, huh?
A little bit, yeah.
Larry loves to talk.
Mother, would you get off the extension?
I will not. I pay for the phone here. Larry loves to talk about outer space. That's all I want.
I'm not talking about outer space. What I'm talking about, Phil, is HARP. High altitude radioactive. I don't know the name of it exactly.
All right, well, we'll look somebody look it up, okay?
I'll look it up, Mr. Henry, and find out what it means.
Yeah, I'll look it up, too, just in case he doesn't know how to look it up.
I'll look it up just because... Yeah, I'll be like a third fallback.
Okay, great. So if all three of you guys are looking it up?
Yes. What are we looking up?
HARP. H-A-R-P.
Well, it's an instrument you play.
Not the instrument. I'm talking about it's an acronym for...
Hey, how do you spell acronym?
Don't worry about it. Just look up HARP. Don't ask me how to spell HARP. Please, God, please, don't ask me how to spell HARP.
How do you spell HARP?
H-A-R-P. All right. That, you know, that's your crew, not my crew. I didn't do that to you. You did it to yourself. I am saying to you, Phil, very simply, all right? Oh, God, I'm going to throw my guts right up out of my nose if I got to look one more second. Get it off the TV, Mother, please.
I will not. I think he's fascinating.
Get him off my TV, Mother.
All right, I'll go in the bedroom.
Yes.
What's going on?
He had Michael Moore on the TV. I won't look at that for one extra second.
All right, I got to hear from Dan. Thank you, Dan. HARP is a high-frequency active auroral research program.
What? That sounds like baloney.
That's what it is.
All right. Now, the high-frequency active auroral research program, is that what you said?
Yeah. You know, you're the guy that's talking about it. Don't you think you ought to know what it is?
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Hendry, that I'm not up on everything the way you are. You know, I'm doing everything I can to try to save this country from another term with President Barack Hussein Obama. And
every time you guys use the middle name, it is such a glaring and childish ploy to somehow compare him to A, Saddam Hussein, B, an evil Mideasterner, a Muslim. You guys, even if the man isn't Muslim, you want to somehow position that in people's minds. You want to demonize the man for something that, quite frankly, he wasn't in control of, his own name.
Well, is that his name?
It's his name, yes. Yeah.
All right, well, just...
Yeah, but when you guys use the middle name the way you use it...
Hey, excuse me for a minute. Didn't people say William Jefferson Clinton?
No.
No?
No, they called him Bill Clinton.
Yeah, but I mean, they...
They called him Bill Clinton, and they called him Ronald Reagan. I don't even know Ronald Reagan's middle name.
You don't know Ronald Reagan's middle name?
No, I don't. I can't remember what his middle name is.
It was Ronald Milhouse Reagan.
No, it wasn't. That was Nixon.
No, it was. There was Ronald.
I don't even know what Ronald Reagan's middle name was.
Let me talk now. Yeah, that's a very good point, Phil. No one, Ronald Reagan.
Did he have a middle name? And I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Did he?
Of course he had a middle name.
Well, it wasn't Milhouse. That was Nixon.
No, you're wrong.
No, I'm not wrong. James Earl Carter, Gerald, I don't know what Gerald Ford. So they don't always use the middle name. No, they don't.
What about President Bush? George W. Bush.
I don't know whether that's the dad or the son.
Well, in any event, the point that I've been trying to make and that I've been told that I'm not allowed to make is the fact...
I haven't told you not to make a point.
Well, I'm saying that the high-altitude frequency aurora borealis, whatever the thing is, Obama can use that to manipulate weather. And why am I not allowed to at least say that it is a possibility that Obama used the high-frequency beam or whatever it is to manipulate the weather?
You know, Larry...
Well, why not?
Okay, hold on. To say why couldn't he, or to say it's possible that they, or to say it's within the realm of possibility that, all of those phrases that are used by the conspiracy theorists to somehow purport to prove something, they mean nothing. It is not proof. It's not even evidence. It is the imagining of someone. It might be an imagining that I could share. It might be an imagining that I would think they need to be committed to a psychiatric hospital for. It might be an imagining that is within the realm of possibility. But it is not evidence. And this is the problem. We no longer have evidence. We just have some jackass's imaginings.
So that's what I am.
I'm sorry, Larry, but yes, that's what you are. To say, why couldn't Obama use this to manipulate the weather, therefore cause devastation, therefore, that's not proof, that's not even evidence, that is a fanciful statement, a provocative statement that is born of nothing more than prejudice.
Oh, so now you're saying I don't like blacks, is that it?
No, did I say that?
You said prejudice.
I'm talking about your prejudice against his presidency.
Let me have it.
You know what? I don't like being talked to like that.
Yeah, Phil, that's a good point. And Larry, you should grow up. Larry, get back on the phone with Phil.
No, I don't like being talked to that way.
Oh, brother.
He's crying.
He's crying.
I don't like it when people talk to me.
All right, Larry, I'm sorry that I talked to you mean, okay?
Stick it up your butt.
Stick it up my what?
Up your butt.
Okay, man. Feel good. Happy Halloween.
Yeah, you don't care about me.
We'll take a break. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Is
Truth
that an adult you just talked to? Or is that a...
Yes, the Phil Hendry Show.
And the mother is too?
Yes, the mother's an adult. What kind of question is that?
All
messed up tonight with our video cast. Anyway, welcome back to the show, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Thanks a lot, Larry. I hope you recover.
That man has a mental problem.
Well, I mean, if you start coming up with rays coming from outer space.
That guy, not talking about ray from outer space, he's talking about the HARP program.
Well, what is that?
It's a program where the government is going to shoot a beam.
Will you take your fingers out of your nose?
Yeah, first step.
What? You're going like that. Sorry. But I mean, the government's going to shoot a beam into outer space, or not outer space, but, and then,
put the paper down, man, making too much noise.
Right.
Oh, okay, Dad.
Well, you're making a lot of noise.
Okay, Dad. Should I call you Mom?
I'll call you, you call me Mom, man, you watch, well, I'll be your dad.
It's when outer space, when a beam gets shot up there to manipulate the weather.
What do you mean manipulate the weather? Is the government trying to do that?
The government's trying to find a way, if there's a drought or a storm or any bad weather or a bunch of tornadoes are attacking, that they can change it.
Well, I've heard of that. The government's been working on something like that for years. But that doesn't mean the government, that the president of the United States decides to, in a maniacal and diabolical manner, manipulate the beam to change weather so he gets reelected somehow.
Well, yeah, okay, if you want to believe that, but some of us are smarter than that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Man, you said a magic word there.
I love that. Some of us are smarter than that. Oh, my God. Just because you're paranoid don't mean you're smart, bud. Just because you're dead set against a certain political ideology doesn't make you smart. You know, one of the problems with Michael Moore, is we were talking about Michael Moore. Michael Moore has become a brand. And what do I mean by brand? This is a word that gets kicked around a lot, you guys, in media today. You've heard the word. Everybody's a brand. Anyone that is in the media is a brand. Phil Hendry's a brand. You know, I have a certain brand. I have my website. I have my radio show. You know.
You have us. Are we a brand?
Yeah, you're part of the brand. And there's so Michael Moore has a brand. Now, the problem with a guy like Moore, or, you know, let's use a guy on the right. I mean, if you want to use a guy on the right.
But Glenn Beck.
Yeah, I don't know if Glenn has a right-winger. He's, you know, people perceive him as the conservative. I don't know if it's such a brand that he couldn't change. I mean, I think what Glenn's done is he would if he became a liberal, it probably would be in keeping, you know. But let's, all right. But the point that I'm making here is that if you're a brand, how easy is it for you to change? Especially using a guy like Michael Moore is a better example, because that guy is just anti everything that's conservative, all right? Even if he sounds like a moron, even like that stupid freaking movie he made, which everybody thought was just the height of genius, it was a piece of propaganda that the likes of which I haven't seen since that chick that made all those movies for Hitler, when she used all that uplighting and could see all the hairs in his nose.
Marlene Dietrich?
Marlena Dietrich? No, the one that Lenny What's-Her-Face.
Oh, Lenny Riefenstahl or something like that. Yes, yes.
I mean Marlena Dietrich?
Marlena Dietrich was, you don't know who she was?
Yes, I know who she was. She didn't make movies. She was an actress. Anyway, yeah. So that's Michael Moore. He's like that, you know, he's a propagandist. And he made that stupid movie. But the point I'm making is he's got such a brand now, he is so entrenched in that brand, that guy couldn't change his opinion and become, there's no way, even if he thought what he was saying was bullcrap, he can't change his opinion. He can't say it publicly.
Why can't, Michael Moore is one of the great film, first of all, I think he's one of our great documentarians. Secondly.
Oh, you kidding me, Margaret.
No, I'm not. May I finish? May I finish?
Go ahead.
Michael Moore is one of our great documentarians. He has uncovered, I think, what is truly a layer of ossified conservative thinking, calcified conservative thinking.
What do you mean? Yeah, what do you mean about that?
Oh, my.
Would you take your fingers out of your nose?
Sorry. What do you mean by that?
What do I mean by what?
About it being ossified.
I mean paralyzed. I mean petrified. I mean turned to rock. And Michael Moore has shaken it up with some of the most groundbreaking and really thought-provoking documentaries that I've ever seen.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Lady Di, you know.
Excuse me?
Well, that I've ever seen.
Well.
God, Margaret.
That's all that Pat, that's a relaxed Pat Scummerall school.
The Pat Scummerall school? Boy, he'll love that.
the Pat Summerall School. You know, the you know, me giving a green light to you guys taking that Pat Summerall School of Broadcasting course, that's the worst decision I ever made.
Why would you say that?
Because that whole relaxed way, you know, that I've ever heard. It's almost like you're not even moving your lips, you know?
Yeah, you gotta learn how to move your lips more.
I'm gonna reach it.
Hey, watch it.
Throw a punch at him. So anyway, thank you very much for that opinion. All right, so where were we? Oh, yeah, so President Obama and Governor Christie showing the better side of our nature, showing the angels of our nature, as Shakespeare or somebody once put it, Shakespeare or Jackie Collins, I don't know. In any event, the two of them, hand in hand, arms around each other, although it probably was tough for the president to get his arm around the governor more so than... You know,
that's not necessary.
All right, I'm sorry. In any event, the president said if they need something, we figure out a way to get it. Obama said four states, New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, and West Virginia, had shouldered the worst of the storm, and the region's first priority was restoring power. About 5.9 million homes and businesses were without power on Wednesday, down from about 8.5 million at the height of the crisis. We're here for you, the president said. He was in hiking boots and Governor Christie in white sneakers.
And stretch pants.
The joke's with the fat, okay?
You were doing it.
Yeah, you were making jokes.
I wasn't making any jokes. I said that Governor Christie, if you ever want a 2,000 calorie a day diet, which, by the way, did I ever make my big announcement?
I think you did.
Well, I'm going to make it again. I hit 211 pounds. I may be at 210 pounds by now, most likely. I'm probably at 209 pounds, for all I know. And now I've got a big problem, and that is...
What are you going to do with all your stretch band pants?
I don't have any stretch band pants. As a matter of fact, the big pants that I was wearing back when I was 290, all of those have been thrown away. They're long gone. Now, I'm wearing belts with these 40-inch pants. There's no way that I can keep wearing these. I've got to go and get a new pair of pants. I got to get a whole new clothes now, you know?
Well, this is the time to go and get it because you're not going to lose any more weight, are you?
I don't know. I'm beginning to think that I... This is weird. I mean, I hope I'm not getting I don't think I'm anorexic, but I'm thinking I've gotten myself so used to this diet now that it's going to feel kind of bad going back on regular food, you know?
Oh, my God.
What?
You're going to start becoming like anorexia.
Yeah, man, you got to watch that. What did I just get done telling you, man?
Yeah, but you're not going to eat like a normal person.
What's the matter?
You ever go to Big Daddy's?
Yes, we'll go back to Big Daddy's, of course, man.
What about, we gonna go back to In-N-Out?
We'll go back to In-N-Out, of course we will.
Okay.
God, you're all bawling about it. What's the matter, bud?
Well, I wanna go to Big Daddy.
We'll go to Big Daddy's, okay? We're gonna go to Big Daddy's.
What is Big Daddy's? I guess it's a hamburger place?
It's a great hamburger place, right down at the El Pacifico, man. Fantastic. Fantastic. I haven't been there in months. And they don't make a square hamburger, man. They make a hamburger... I can't even describe the hamburger they make, but it's square, but it's rectangle. It's like they got to put it in a rectangle bun. It's
what?
Yeah, it's like a big long rectangle hamburger. Fantastic with cheese and the fries. God, I miss it so, man. I can't believe that it was only March that I was a big fat pig, and now I'm like a normal guy again.
Well, you can tell Governor Christie for me, no more Big Daddies.
All right, Governor Christie, no more Big Daddies, man, at least until you get it down to, at least you get yourself down to blimp size. I don't mean to make fun, but hey, you know, I've been there. Been there, done that. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. Famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The News Talk and Entertainment Show that knows what it's talking about. We had the storms, the storm updates for the cities and the urban areas, and there's all kinds of news here having to do with, like, New Jersey's barrier islands, and there's obviously there are stories having to do with the suburban areas around all of the major cities that were affected, whether it's D.C., whether it was New York, wherever. There's just a variety of ways of looking at this, and of course, we were talking with Larry Grover about the whole political aspect of this thing. But now there's the science, and what do we mean by the science? Well, we have people weighing in now on the global warming thing. Now, I have never denied in my life. I've never denied that there is a warming of the globe's, or there is a, I should say, a changing of the world or the globe's temperatures, the world globe, you know. I just have wanted to know more about the human effect.
Well, that's a very nice way of putting it, Phil, but you denied global warming, just like people thought the world was flat.
Oh, horse dung, I never did that. Come on.
What do you mean the world is flat? Nobody ever believed that.
Yes, they did. At one time, they did.
Yes, they did. And they denied that there was a flat world, just like you deny that there's global warming.
Prove it.
But don't say prove it. There is a change in the mean temperature of the Earth.
What do you mean, mean temperature?
I'm talking about how bad it can get, right?
No, not to how bad it can get.
How mean it gets.
Not how mean it gets. I mean medium. I mean average.
Oh, my God.
Well, you talk about a mean temperature.
Like the mean. It's the median. I don't want to go any more explanation. Let's not get into an argument about global warming right now, please.
Well, you brought it up.
From the darkened living rooms of lower Manhattan to the wave-battered shores of Lake Michigan, the question is occurring to millions of people at once. Did the enormous scale and damage from Hurricane Sandy have anything to do with climate change? Hesitantly, climate scientists offered an answer this week that is likely to satisfy no one, themselves included. They simply do not know for sure if the storm was caused or made worse by human-induced global warming. Now, I'm bringing this up because one of my close personal friends on Twitter, who I don't really know all that well, but anyway, they retweeted the following from Dr. Harvey Karp. Whoever he is, I don't know, but he said, quote, three of the biggest Manhattan floods since 1900 were in the last 2.5 years. Hmm. And the ice caps are melting. Hmm. No global warming, question mark? Really? Well, that's not science, Doc. That's you going, hmm.
Well, what does that mean, Phil? He's saying, well, you know.
No, I'm getting tired of that. You see, that's what I'm saying. I'm getting tired of all that, hmm. I'm getting tired of that, it stands to reason. I'm getting tired of people with their whole, well, doesn't it make sense that, especially if you're talking to some idiot on the internet, you know, doesn't it make sense? I'll tell you what, folks, here is surefire proof that whatever somebody is saying isn't true. If it's a guy on the internet and he starts off his comment with, well, it seems to make sense if, when that comment is used by someone who you are just chatting with on the internet, he's an idiot. Just take it from me, okay?
Why, have you done that?
Very good.
Yes, I have done that.
That was very good, Robert.
In any event, So the climate scientists offered an answer this week that's likely to satisfy no one. They do know, however, that the resulting storm surge along the Atlantic coast was almost certainly intensified by decades of sea level rise linked to human emissions of greenhouse gases. And they emphasize that Hurricane Sandy, whatever its causes, could be seen as a foretaste of trouble to come as the seas rise faster, the risks of climate change accumulate, and the political system fails to respond. The political system where? In America or in India?
What does that mean?
I'll tell you what it means. I'll tell you what it means. India, China, these countries are polluting monsters. They're big, fat, belching gas machines. The United States has this conversation with itself, this debate with itself, this argument with itself, this screaming, idiotic dialogue where we have people saying, you know, you should be thrown in jail for polluting too much. And over in China and India, they just keep right on belching that stuff out because they ain't got time for this bullcrap, in their opinion. They're not getting in any global warming discussion. They got billions of people over there who have been waiting to live life, you know, live life on a large scale, man. They're not, they don't have, this is a great example, really, of the differences in human, in cultural evolution, where a one culture has evolved to a point where it can afford to have these nice little conversations about global warming and whether or not we should be farting as much as we do, and whether or not we should be painting the house blue as opposed to what would be the feng shui pink, or, you know, that's America. Because we got the time and we have the luxury and we've got it all going on. But in India and China, they look at us and they say, I want to live like that. Well, you see, you can't because you are belching too many. Don't give me that greenhouse gas jazz, man. You're not going to hold us back. So that's the argument, see?
Well, of course, they're entitled to live the life, the good life they've struggled for. So we should cut our emissions.
Of course, and let them keep on polluting, and somehow it will all even out. So you and I, we pay more. And the goal now, ladies and gentlemen, in the most undemocratic of fashions, I might add, is for Americans to be forced into a certain way of acting and living and being for the benefit of Chinese and Indians, because they've had it so bad for so long and we've had it so good for so long, so we have to be this way and they get to be that way. And I have not seen the world evolve, ladies and gentlemen, politically, militarily, or in any other way. I haven't seen the world evolve to that point where, yes, we all understand, America, it's your turn, and the world will all be happy and we'll all hold hands. That's bull crap. The world doesn't exist in that reality. You know, we still have a planet that is fractured. We still have political systems that are at odds with each other. We still have political leaders who are completely unenlightened and murderous in some ways. And for us to think that we're going to make a sweetness and light statement by, oh, well, I tell you what, you guys, you just go ahead and you keep on belching out all those gases and America will cut it back and somehow we'll all be loved and it's all going to even out in the end. Hey, Jack, you know, you're on your own.
Well, then, Phil, we will continue to have this conflict. We will continue to see the world's people starve to death. And for what? So that Americans can, we can live a little less inside of our Cadillacs and a little more with a smaller and a more affordable car, so that we don't have to have those ridiculous light bulbs.
You know, and the other thing, let me just go back to the original, when this argument first started. We're really not talking about people, all people in America. We're really just and we're not talking about all people in China or India. The oligarchy, if you will, or the higher class people, the more entitled people, will always be flying their fuel-consuming and polluting jets.
Oh, here we go.
No. You know, I mean, if you want to say here we go, it's always going to be up to people like me and you and the rest of us to use the this and the that and to consume here and consume less there. And meanwhile, the people, the empowered, whether they are liberal or conservative, those people will keep on living the way they want to live, polluting, crapping where they want to crap, eating what they want to eat, stepping where they want to step, leaving whatever carbon footprint. And the carbon footprint of Michael Moore, even as he sits there.
Would you stop with your childish jokes?
Carbon footprint of Michael Moore. God, man, spit it out.
I'm not joking. What kind of carbon footprint do you think Michael Moore leaves? I wouldn't even want to guess.
I think you're being a child, and it's typical of an individual like you, Phil. You don't have an argument.
I do have an argument. What kind of carbon footprint does a fat slob like that have? I just got done losing 90 pounds, or, well, okay, 70, well, 80 pounds. Okay? Fatso there. Which, by the way, he does look skinnier.
He does look much thinner. He looks really good.
I think he's been at a fat farm in Florida. Is that it?
Yeah, he went down to a fat farm down in Miami.
Seriously?
Yeah.
He's okay, but he's... Michael, if you ever... You and Governor Christie, the three of us, I will start the Phil Hendry Fat Camp for, you know, famous fat asses. How about that? The Phil Hendry... PHP, Phil Hendry Fat Camp for Famous Fat Asses.
And it all starts with a PH.
Exactly.
That is so tiring.
I don't care. I like it. It's my little personal imprimatur, if you will. Okay? All right, it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and so where was I? Oh, yeah, global warming. We're changing the environment, it's very clear, said Thomas R. Knutson, a research meteorologist with the government's Geophysical Fluid Dynamics Laboratory in Princeton, New Jersey. We're changing global temperature, we're changing atmospheric moisture, we're changing a lot of things. Humans are running this experiment, and we're not quite sure how it's going to turn out. By the time Hurricane Sandy hit the northeast coast on Monday, upending lives across the eastern half of the country, it had become a freakish hybrid of large late-season hurricane and a winter storm more typical of the middle latitudes. Though by no means unprecedented, that type of hybrid storm is rare enough that scientists have not studied whether it is likely to become more common in a warming climate. My profession hasn't done its homework, said Carrie A. Emanuel, a climate scientist at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. I think there's going to be a ton of papers that come out of this, but it's going to take a couple of years. So what they're saying there is this is a kind of a storm that they haven't yet done the research on, so they don't really know. Was this created by global warming, climate change? Is it something that will, because it has been created, that'll be affected negatively? Will warming temperatures make it worse, etc., or make it more common? Scientists note that a warmer atmosphere can hold more water vapor, which in principle supplies more energy for storms of all types. The statistics seem to show that certain types of weather extremes, notably heat waves and heavy downpours, are becoming more common. But how those general principles will influence hurricanes has long been a murky and contentious area of climate science. Most scientists expect that the number of Atlantic hurricanes will actually stay steady or decline in coming decades as the climate warms, but that the proportion of intense damaging storms is likely to rise. And why do they feel that way? Because that's what's been happening.
Oh, that's not fair.
No, that's exactly fair. I remember when they were saying there's going to be more hurricanes because of climate change. Now that we are not seeing an increase in the number of, you know what it's going to be? It's going to be just the same number. I'm sorry, man. I'm not saying that there isn't climate change. I'm not saying that at all. And at this particular point, I won't even deny that it is caused in some measure by humans. But don't start, you know, laying every scientist you got in the world out in front of me with their paper of the week to tell me, here's how it is, this is how it is, that's how it's going to be, this is what's causing this, that's what's going to. I don't even know, to be honest with you, that this weather that we're experiencing, just as this article stated, that this weather causes this kind of weather, that this global climate change has caused really anything. We have evidence, and we can tie in certain things that have happened with certain other things, but we've also, in the past, have had evidence of all kinds of weather systems. We had a dust bowl in the 30s, for God's sakes. We had one of the hottest years on record was in the 20s. We've had melting ice caps since the 20s. We've had actual newspaper accounts of the ice caps melting as early as the 1920s. So what's that about?
Well, global warming must have started then.
All right, so global warming started when? With the Industrial Revolution?
Well, I don't know, but yes.
What do you mean? What? I thought they said it just started recently.
No. See, it's changing to, the arguments change to accommodate the other arguments. But now we're saying, oh, well, you see, it's been going on since industrial, because we've had polar bears swimming for their lives in 1851. I don't know. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth. Well, what about the polar bears swimming?
Bitch. What about the swimming
Phil
polar
Hendry
bears?
Show.
Why were there so many miles off the coast?
Polar bears can swim. Never mind.
I don't know about that. I never heard about
You never heard about the Little Ice Age?
No, I didn't.
The Little Ice Age is also, the Little Ice Age was also a weather aberration, if you want to call it, a weather phenomenon, if you want to call it, a weather, an episode or an event. It was, in fact, a 200-year period, and again, looking here on, as Bud calls it, Winklepedia, because it's a fairly well-sourced article here. The Little Ice Age was a period of cooling that occurred after the medieval warm period.
What do you mean a medieval warm period?
These are periods that scientists today have seen based upon the core samples taken from the Antarctic ice pack and the Arctic ice, meaning you can go down deep into that ice because it's a It's a wonderful virgin part of the earth that you can sample soil deep, deep underground and ice. And I don't know, Antarctica, there's soil, and the polar ice cap is ice, but that can bring up samples from hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of years ago, and we can see the change in temperatures and the change in weather by analyzing this. The scientists have their way of analyzing it. I don't know what it is. What we do know is that there was a period called the Little Ice Age. Now, what do you want to tell me about that, Margaret? Was that caused by people?
Well, what, Phil? Don't be ridiculous. Of course there are cycles of weather. But what we're saying is that with the current global warming, there's a lot of human activity having to do with these carbon emissions that we know affect the temperatures of the Earth.
Well, now, wait a minute. We know that it affects the temperatures of the Earth. Do we know that has caused this period that we call global climate change, or this particular period of global climate change? Because we've had global climate change before. That's what I'm saying to you. Okay?
Well, no, what are you saying?
I'm saying we had a little ice age from 1650 to 1850, which has been documented by NASA and others, and it defines this term as a cold period between the years that I just mentioned. It's a cold interval. It is a lowering of the temperatures of the Earth. Now, what caused that? Too many sheep's taking a crap?
Don't be asinine.
Too many campfires? What?
No, there weren't too many campfires. There was a cyclical weather period.
Okay. Now we have modern times, and we're seeing all kinds of horrible stuff. And we're seeing storms, this, that, this, that. How do you know that that is not also a part of the wobbling Earth that we live on? The Earth shifting as it goes around the sun?
What do you mean wobbling?
The Earth, it's not always. We have this Earth that is changing its trajectory or its face toward the sun, okay? So that the axis, the way it's facing the sun is changing, all right? So we know that the Earth is constantly shifting that way. And how do we know that that doesn't somehow affect weather and a million other things, okay?
Yeah, like the number of sheep that is taking it down.
Yeah. Shut up, you guys. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I'm not going to sit here and listen to you guys talking about sheep taking dumps, all right?
I got a great idea. You know what you should do?
What's that?
Why don't you go to the bathroom?
Yeah, go to the bathroom.
So, in other words, me going to the bathroom and having to do what a lady does is the same as a sheep squatting in a pasture. I reject that.
No, just what you do.
Come here.
Hey.
No, I'm going to go outside. If you're man enough, you'll meet me outside 5 minutes.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not.
Don't go, bud.
She's choosing me off.
I don't care if she is choosing you off. Don't go.
All right, then I'll use the toilet.
Go right ahead and use your toilet, Margaret.
It's not my toilet.
No, you're right, but it ought to be. We ought to put a plaque there, Margaret, that says the Margaret Gray Memorial Toilet.
Ha ha ha!
Yes, I hope you do.
Unreal, man. Okay, so anyway, guys, it's something to read up on. It's something to be mindful of. It's something to... it's something to hang our hats on. Just like everything else, we always find, I think the human race is, especially Americans, we're always finding a solution. I know it's tough. We don't like having to pay more. We don't like having to be taxed more. We don't like having to do this and do that when we used to do this and that. And now we got to do it that way. And we don't want to do it this way. We used to do it that way. And now we don't do it that way. We used to do it this way. Well, sometimes we just have to do what we do. But one of the things we always seem to find is a way to do it. And so it is on this day, the 1st of November, 2000, whatever the hell it is.
You ought to run for governor of New Jersey, Mr. Henry, or you ain't fat enough. But you're not fat enough, but you can gain the weight back.
No, I don't want to be governor of New Jersey. Thank you very much. Just keep me in mind there, Governor Christie and Mr. Moore. I can bring the two of you guys together over a nice big bowl of romaine lettuce. So keep that in mind. It'll be the Phil Henry's Fat Farm for the famous
Funky.
And funky. The world famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Henry, and of course, brought to you in living color here on Phil TV in HD. And don't forget to join us online at philhenryshow.com, where you can get yourself a backstage pass and enjoy all of this groovy video that we do, and now available on your iPod, your iPad, your ePad, your
MaxiPad.
Anyway, we'll see you tonight. Until then, let that be a lesson to you. MaxiPad.
Phil Hendry.